And it's scooped across and picked up by Campbell, who comes in over the line to Hesh. Hesh works into the corner. Hesh around behind the net. Took a backhand. They score! Mike Ryan was kept beside the net as Jochen Hesh got it to him. And Buffalo has taken a 1-0 lead.
Time now for NHL Hour with Bill Clement and Commissioner Gary Bettman. NHL Home Ice, XM204.
The NHL Hour is coming up in a few minutes with me, Gary Bettman, and Bill Clement. I'll take your calls, answer your emails, and talk all things NHL. Coming up in a few minutes, live from the NHL Store, powered by Reebok, and all on NHL Home Ice, XM204, and NHL.com.
And we are underway. Welcome to the NHL Hour. This is our launch, so it's about time to cue the champagne bottle against the hull of the ship. It's about exactly how I thought it would sound. Bill Clement with NHL Commissioner Gary Bettman. We're live from the NHL Store, powered by Reebok, on NHL Home Ice XM204, as well as NHL.com. And we really want you to be part of this show, so we'll give you the call-in number. It's 877-NHL. On XM, if you're numerically inclined, it's 877-645-6696, and the email address is nhlhour@nhl.com. And right about now, I'm sure there are commissioners from other major league sports around the country saying, I wonder why Gary Bettman is doing this. What would the answer exactly be to that, Gary?
I've been sitting here asking myself the same question. Since the studios in the building we're now occupying for our offices, and we overlook this terrific store, I thought this would be a good opportunity for us to interact with fans. While the media does a great job of covering our game, there may be things on fans' mind that they'd like to talk to me about personally, find out why we do or don't do certain things, let us know their views on the issues of the day, and just try to have a little fun with it.
So you haven't had this burning desire since childhood to be a radio host?
Absolutely not. Actually, as I was reading the opening tease, I said, well, it's a good thing this isn't the career you picked for yourself.
Well, how about bringing us up to date on some league activity? Starting in Tampa Bay, where this, I think the name of the group is the Absolute Hockey Group. Everything looked as if it was sailing along for the purchase of the Tampa Bay Lightning, but there seems to be a snag there, does there?
Well, what appears to be the case, and it really hasn't gotten to the point in terms of franchise transfer procedures where we were really much involved in anything that had been going on, and it appears from everything we're being told that there was a dispute among the people who were in the partnership that were trying to buy the club. And I don't think this will move forward until those parties either decide they're going to move forward together or have an amicable parting of the ways. Bill Davidson's a great owner. He's the owner of the Tampa Bay Lightning. The franchise is doing quite well. And if not this group, it may be some other group, but this one is at least is on hold for the time being. I don't think there's any reason for concern in Tampa Bay about the future of the Lightning. It'll be fine.
The sale of the Nashville Predators is much closer to coming to fruition. There looks like there's going to be a vote of approval at the Board of Governors meeting that begins Thursday in Pebble Beach. Just out of curiosity, who gets to choose where the governors meet?
Actually, a couple of the owners said to me, it's time that we have a board meeting out west, and why don't we go someplace fun instead of...
But they always go someplace fun, though.
Well, no, normally we do meetings in New York or in Chicago.
It's fun?
Not as much fun as being at Pebble Beach. I haven't been there to play golf. Well, I think the last time I was there was 35 years ago. So on that level, I suppose I'm looking forward to it, although I don't get to spend much time outside. during these meetings. With respect to the Predators, the approval is on the agenda for Board of Governor consideration. David Freeman and the local group has done a very good job of getting a number of people together to buy the franchise, and the mayor of Nashville has been terrific in terms of stepping up and working with the club to redo the lease to give this club every shot to be healthy and successful in Nashville, which is what we want.
How many franchise sales have you presided over as commissioner? Roughly?
I have no idea. Countless. Between full 100% sales and minority interests, it's dozens upon dozens, and that probably underestimates it.
How many have taken more twists and turns, if any, than the sale of the Nashville Predators?
Oh, they all have twists and turns. there's never one that's like anyone that preceded it. There's always some issue with the closing. There's always some issue among partners. You know, the easiest sale is when one very successful person comes up
and writes
says,
a check.
And writes a check, and we call it a day.
It's never like that. Exactly. When define your role in the process.
Well, it's twofold. One, we try and get comfortable and have the prospective owners get comfortable with us in terms of what to expect when you're going to become a partner in the partnership that constitutes the NHL. And two, there's a process where we have to do due diligence, check out the people who are buying in, get comfortable with the transaction, how it's being financed, how it's being paid for in full, and getting the owners, who ultimately have to pass on any ownership transfer, comfortable that this is either somebody that they want in the league as an owner or somebody that they don't for whatever reason.
Is there one main piece of advice, one key element of advice that you would give an owner that is preparing to sell a franchise?
Well, stay in touch with us, which is what most owners do whenever they're interested in selling their franchises. The good news is we don't have very many for sale, and there seems to be a lot of interest in owning NHL franchises right now. I think that's a testament to how strong the game is right now and the interest in the game.
General managers had a conference call yesterday, and apparently they went over all kinds of items on the agenda. Is that something you're involved with, or do you wait to see what sifts down after the phone conversation, the telecon?
No, I was actually on the conference call. It was Coley Campbell's call. He runs the general manager's calls. Bill Daly, the deputy commissioner, was on, as were a number of other people from the legal office staff, depending on the issues. And there were a variety of things that the general managers wanted to talk about. Brian Burke brought forth a proposal where he wanted teams to be able to trade players and not have to transfer all of their salary for purposes of the salary cap.
How'd that go? I mean, the hockey world, is, from what I read, wants to know if that's going to happen.
It's not going to happen immediately. It would require a change to the collective bargaining agreement. And we've asked the general managers after the lively discussion, and there were a lot of pros for doing it and a lot of cons, to think about it for a couple of days and let either Bill or Coley or me know by email what their view is. I'm not so sure that there's a complete agreement as to what the right answer is.
I could put you on the spot and say, how much will the cap be adjusted, or what will the final out? But everybody has to sign off. This process is in its infancy, is it not?
Well, we're only in the third season, and we had a fundamental change in how we do business with respect to signing and retaining and recruiting players. And I think everybody's still learning the system.
Flyers and Bruins played last night. There was another incident of a player being hurt and a player being ejected. Scott Hartnell hit Andrew Alberts. Hartnell of the Flyers, Andrew Alberts of the Boston Bruins. And Hartnell was given a 5 and an automatic game for boarding. What's the sift down on that incident? You saw it, obviously.
If you're asking me what Coley Campbell did in administering supplemental discipline, I know he's advised the Flyers, that Hartnell will be getting a two-game suspension without pay. And, you know, the analysis of this, no two instances are ever the same. They're not identical. Each one has to be looked at. When you examine the criteria that we put into place over the summer, did the player leave his feet when he made the hit? That wasn't applicable here. Was he targeting the head? It looked more like he was trying to check him. Unfortunately, Alberts was on his knees, mm-hmm. which made it a little more complicated. Was the player unsuspecting and vulnerable? Yeah, I think in this case he was vulnerable. Did the player have the puck? He had just played it. Was there an injury? When you weigh all the factors, this isn't clearly as difficult a situation as Downey or Bolarice were. In this one, I think Coley decided that particularly because it was clear that the player tried to hold up. He threw snow as he was trying to slow down. And I also think the injury in part got caused because the player, not from the elbow or the shoulder, but because he banged his head on the edge of the boards. And so I think Coley felt that because there was an injury, although we're told the player should be back for the next game, he wanted to, again, continue to make a statement that says we look at hits to the head very, very carefully. And this clearly wasn't as egregious as some of the others we've seen.
Yeah, there are many days when I'm glad I'm not in Coley Campbell's office or in his shoes, and this is one of them where he has to look at tape and boil it all down and come up with something. So two games for Scott Hartnell. We're going to step out. When we come back, Gary will take your calls and answer your emails, all on the NHL Hour on NHL Home Ice, XM204, and NHL.com. Glad you're with us.
Isn't enough. Think of it as 3,600 seconds devoted to you. You're listening to NHL Hour on NHL Home Ice, XM204.
And welcome back, everyone. We're live from the NHL store powered by Reebok on NHL Home Ice, XM204 and NHL.com. Bill Clement with NHL Commissioner Gary Bettman. Our call-in number is 877-NHL on XM. That's 877-645-6696. And the email address is nhlhour@nhl.com. And as I look at this board, it is flashing at me, Gary. We've got a bunch of callers waiting. Fire away. Who do you want?
Here we go. John in Winnipeg, you're next on the NHL Hour.
Well, hi there, Mr. Bettman, and hi there, Bill. How you guys doing?
We're great. How are you?
I'm doing fine. Just driving to southern Ontario. No, I'm not going to ask when we're going to get the Jets back. what I was calling about is something I've been thinking about for probably about a year and a half, and it's regards to the point system, the way that they're awarded.
Yep.
In my opinion, I think that invisible point that shows up when you go into overtime and into a shootout should not be awarded the way it's set up. The proposal or the idea that I had is to go with a two-point system. You get 2 points if you win in overtime. You get 2 points if you win in regulation. However, if the game is extended into a shootout, then each team is awarded half a point, and then the winner is awarded an additional point. That way you get a total of two. This sets up a scenario down the road when you get into towards the end of the season where a team that is chasing another team, if they go into overtime and lose, they don't get anything, whereas the team that does win, they get the full 2 points. And when they do go into a shootout, they only get half a point. It's not. They're getting too much of a reward for going so far into the game.
By the way, it's an interesting point that you're making. The issue of having some games worth 2 points and some worth three is something that we've discussed. And in fact, when the shootout was adopted 2 years ago, at the competition committee meetings, there was a long discussion about what the right point scenario should be. And there was even some discussion of saying that a win is a win, and you get 2 points, whether or not you win it in the shootout, whether or not you win it in overtime, whether or not you win it in regulation. And there was a concern, particularly expressed by the players on the competition committee, that to come away from a shootout with nothing is not fair or representative of the effort that went into it. And more importantly, if a team was up with 5 or 10 minutes left to go in regulation, they might try and clamp down defensively, go into a style of play which would be less entertaining in order to try and hang on to the win. Our goal was, with all the rule changes we did, was to open up the game, make it more free-flowing, to encourage offense and scoring chances. And so that's why we have the point system that we have. The scenario at the end of the season that you referred to is one that other people have suggested could happen. It hasn't happened, but it's something we'll continue to look at. Good question, though.
John had me at he had me at 2 points for a regulation win, and he had me at 2 points for an overtime win. But he kind of lost me on that half point. And I wonder, at what point does the fans' ability to comprehend the standings that they're looking at come into it?
Never underestimate our fans. They're the best. Let's go to another call. Jim in Pennsylvania, you're the next one on the NHL Hour.
Well, it's a pleasure to talk to you, Mr. Bettman, and you too, Bill. I just wanted to make a comment first. I'm an unabashed Gary Bettman fan. I think you got a hold of this sport before it turned into baseball, which to me has gone from the ridiculous to the obscene to the sinful. I think what you've done is fabulous, and I think once we're entrenched in a CBA for the next couple of years, this sport is going to be more reflective of the NFL, where if the team stays healthy and they make a few good moves in the summer, the playoffs and going a long way in the playoffs are a real possibility. So thank you very much for what you've done. My question is...
Wait, before you... Let's stop there for a second. You must tell everybody we're not related.
No, we're not related. And I know it's a popular thing to rain on the commissioner's parade, but I think what you've done is fantastic. And interestingly enough, the teams who were able to spend the most money now, under this new collective bargaining agreement, seem to be flourishing, i.e. the New York Rangers. And I know you don't have a lot of fans in New York, but it's just kind of odd how the last 2-3 years the Rangers have started to flourish under this new collective bargaining agreement. So kudos to you, Mr. Commissioner, and all your hard work. My question is, do you think the way you cleaned the sport out a couple of years ago with the referees and turning it into such an offensive, free-flowing game, do you think you're going to have to do that again in a couple of years, go back and clean it out again? And are you happy with the way the referees call the game? Thank you again. I'm going to hang up and listen to your comments. Thank you.
Thank you for your call. We believe that the officials have been doing a great job in adhering to the standard that we put into place to get rid of obstruction and hooking and holding and interference. But our coaches and our players have adapted very well. They're the consummate professionals, and what we're seeing is goal scoring is going down a little bit, and there's increasing reliance on defensive systems, most notably the trap, and that's something we're going to have to keep an eye on. The interference is gone. There's more room, but it's getting harder to score goals, and if that continues, we may have to look at a variety of things to tweak it. I don't think we need any fundamental changes. I think the game is good. It's exciting. It's competitive. And we still have to keep an eye on it. We can never take it for granted. And I know Coley Campbell and his troops in Toronto, including Mike Murphy and Jim Gregory, are watching every game every night, and we're looking at trends. And if the trends get too defensive again, we may have to make an adjustment.
I wonder how many ideas there are on the table right now, Gary, for adjustments. 100?
No. There's never a shortage of ideas from fans, from managers, from owners. But you know what? That's the part that's great about the game. There's always something to talk about. People can always be passionate. Let's go to another call. Brian in New Jersey, you're next on the NHL Hour.
Gentlemen, it's a pleasure. My question is, I know everybody in the league is accountable to someone, but the ownership, particularly in Toronto, doesn't seem to be accountable to anybody. Is there anybody in the NHL office that monitors what they do?
Well, what they do is, thank you for the question. You know, there's always this notion when a team isn't doing as well as its fans like, that somehow the owners, you know, only care about making money and don't care about winning. I've been in professional sports for more than 25 years, and I've never met an owner who doesn't care passionately about winning. Sometimes ownership groups, you know, from the outside look like they're not doing everything that they should, and sometimes ownership groups have disagreements within them. The ownership of the Leafs is very strong. It's the Ontario Teachers Pension Plan. It's Larry Tannenbaum. It's some other partners as well. But the fact of the matter is they all care passionately about winning. But winning isn't easy to do, and lots of things can go wrong. This is a very unpredictable business when you look at it as a business, and it's very unpredictable. Your best intentions when you go out and spend whatever you're going to spend and sign players and hire coaches, it just doesn't always work out the way you want. It's really a question of chemistry and a little bit of luck that your guys stay healthy. And so nobody should ever doubt the passion of any team owner because, as I've said, they all care more about winning than anything else.
The fans are providing the revenue. Are the fans not the people that can hold ownership accountable, Gary?
Well, yes, of course. You always get to vote on your team by not attending or not watching on television. But the thing about our game is our fans are the most passionate. They care the most. And that passion translates into wanting to follow your team through thick and thin. If we go back to callers, this notion about the competitive balance, that's what our new system was all about. You know, it as of today, the top 14 teams in the East are separated by 12 points. The top 14 teams in the West are separated by 11. Just about any team that you could be a fan of is in the hunt. Every game matters in the regular season because we're going to have teams who miss the playoffs by 1 or 2 points. That's a loss or a tie in October and November. And so that's what's really good about the game right now. Time for an email. They just handed me an email, so let me read it to you. Dear Commissioner, that's a nice way to start. Is there a chance when the existing contract with the Versus Network, previously called OLN, expires, you will return to ESPN, and that's from Howard in Washington, D.C. I don't know what's going to happen. We're under a long-term relationship with Versus. We like the relationship very much. They've been very good partners to us. They treat us as their most important product, and while we had a good relationship with ESPN, coming out of the work stoppage, we had different objectives. They have everything on ESPN, and we felt we needed a primary importance that perhaps they couldn't give us. We gave up some distribution in the short term. We went from 88 million homes, which is what ESPN and ESPN2 are in, to roughly 62 or 64 million homes. Versus is now in 74 million homes. Not all the 14 million home difference is people who'd be watching our games anyway. Versus will continue to grow. We expect to be with them for the long term. But, you know, we never say never to anything, and maybe an opportunity will come up in the future to maybe have ESPN join in the mix. But right now, we're very happy with where we are. I know it's gotten a lot of criticism. We're very sensitive to that. But as people get used to finding versus. And if you go to NHL.com and you go to the scheduling section, it can tell you where you're located by putting in your zip code where you can find versus. I urge you to do that because their coverage has been uniformly good and getting better all the time. I've just been handed a note that John Bitoff of XM Canada is on the phone. John, how are you?
Welcome, Commissioner. It's been 2 years we've waited to have you all to ourselves with XM, and I think you can, first of all, I congratulate you for having the foresight. This was your idea to really to do a show where you could deal with the fans and answer their questions head on. And secondly, I think you've seen by the callers today that, you know, there's some pretty in-depth questions and a lot of smart hockey fans across North America who love the chance to ask you a question.
I never doubted that. I didn't have to get on the phones to know that our fans are the best. Even when they don't agree with everything we do. And I'm going to have to be rather brief because Marty Turco...
I have a question,
and then Marty Turco's here. I want the opportunity to interview him. Let Marty say hello. Marty, say hi to John Bitoff of XM Canada.
Hey, John. How you doing, bud?
I'm good, Marty. How are you? I have a quick question for Gary. When I was a kid and when we played as kids, you know, there was a complete respect for... kind of above the neck, the head was never touched, and it seems as though more and more, and you see on the highlights the head checking that's going on with the league, and I guess from a fan perspective, where do you see this can go, and does the NHLPA also kind of, you know, have you had dialogue with them in terms of how we can be more respectful in terms of protecting the players, their heads, and anything above the neck?
We believe in protecting heads. It's a priority for us. It's a discussion we've had with the players repeatedly. And the recent suspensions to Downey and Bollorese indicate that this is something that we're not going to tolerate. If a player targets the head and, you know, launches himself, hits a player late when he's vulnerable or unsuspecting, he can expect a long-term suspension. As I mentioned earlier in the show, every case involving supplementary discipline is different, and you can't overgeneralize, and you've got to look at the nuances of each of them. But I think Coley Campbell does a really good job of making those fine distinctions. John, good talking to you.
Thank you very much.
Marty, welcome. The rejuvenated Dallas Stars.
That's right. That's right. We didn't think we would come out of the gates after a major change like that this well, but we're not complaining.
Are you surprised at at two things? One, that they're now co-general managers and you're working for Brett Hull.
Is that scary?
No, it's actually intriguing.
To
everybody. Of course, you know, the first thing you think of with Brett is the goal scoring, and close second is the brashness that he's brought with his dialogue and his honesty over the years, and you never know what was going to be coming next. But I had an opportunity to play with him, and as a young guy coming in, I can say that no one treated me better in that locker room when I first came up, and that's with, you know, we had a star-studded leadership crew, you know, the Newendykes and Keens and Carbonos and Ludwigs. So he was right there. He never looked for that type of leadership fame. He wanted to be all about known for goal scoring, which he certainly was, but you know, with having Les Jackson, his sidekick, with him, who's been around for a long time, that'll and so far it's gonna make a lot of sense, and who knows what's gonna happen down the road. But in the meantime, as players, you know, we feel very happy with our situation.
You know, a lot of people generally expect when a team isn't playing as well as the fans hope or the owner hopes, it's the coach who gets fired.
Yeah.
Is it surprising to you? Because it's surprising to me that when the general manager is changed, to see the team's fortunes change as quickly as Dallas's did.
Yeah. To say that it's a direct correlation, you know, it'd be impossible. But I think just more of the eye-opening, the shocker of the whole situation of having your GM fired like that in the middle of the season, it's going to bring changes, whether you pretend that it's not. That our goals, of our goals, as a team change, our ability to play. No, but it was just a major wake up call. But I just don't think that this has been a. Wasn't just a quick decision, obviously, by Tom, Mr. Hicks, in Dallas. There was a lot that probably went into it, and you know, he's the one with that makes the big decisions, and he's going to live with it. But for us as players, you know, we felt certainly responsible for the way we were playing, our playoff record, and a lot of other things that went into the equation. But at the end of the day, us as players talk, we're still Dallas Stars. Our goals hasn't changed, and that was a team he put together, so we at least owed him for all that happened, talking with Doug, give our honest effort and see what we can do.
You were on the competition committee last summer, and there's this ongoing debate that goaltenders have gotten too big or the nets have gotten too small. As a goaltender, what's your take on all of it?
Well, I know the nets have not gotten too small. They've been the same size for a long time, and certainly hope that they don't get any bigger, and not just speaking selfishly, but for all aspiring goalies in the world, not just here in North America. But, you know, I just would want people to come watch practice and see how many goals get scored when guys have time, when they have the space, when they have an opportunity to make plays and they don't have a coach yelling at them about not playing defense or not taking time and space away from guys. And goalies have gotten better, and we get a lot of credit for it, but at the end of the day, everybody wants to keep making changes in that, and I feel that being a singular position and the least amount of numbers, we can get taken advantage of quite a bit. But you know, I think a couple of years ago when we had those GM meetings, and you were there and I was there, and we spoke honestly about equipment changes, and even at some points made references to things that people weren't talking about that we could change to make the game better, because at the end of the day, even though it might hurt our jobs, what we do, it was fair to everybody. It kept us safe, and we want a better product. We want the NHL to be as popular as we think it should be.
Besides the American Airlines Center, what's your favorite arenas to play in?
Well, it's we got a lot around the league.
Nassau Coliseum.
Yeah, that's a good one.
Yeah, right.
I don't think I'd won there yet, so that was a.
Oh, really? Had you not?
I don't think so.
That's a good enough reason to knock it down.
Yeah. Well, it has great nostalgia. You just look at the banners they have in there, and that it was all done. That's when the Oilers made that turn back in the day. And those are things that I think about growing up watching the game. But, you know, MSG here in town, that's, you know, you can't beat it. And talking about nostalgia and being in the middle of Manhattan. Last year playing the playoffs in Vancouver, seeing those fans up in the Northwest get rowdy like that, singing O Canada, and having the guy just stop. Quite an experience, certainly as a goaltender, when they're all over you, chant your name. But, you know, I think ones that get underrated, because a lot are, you know, Montreal and Toronto and Detroit arenas that are great. Unheralded ones are like San Jose. They got great fans out there.
They do.
And yeah, maybe we have a bit of a rivalry, and we see them all the time, but it's always packed, and they're loud, and you can't help but get up for a game when you get out to Northern California. So that's one that it's always nice to play in nice arenas that have good fans. It helps us players to be give them our best.
The producer just sent me a note. It says, I have to wrap up with you. Thank you for stopping in. We appreciate it. Hope you're enjoying the NHL store.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to going down there and checking out. So hope more people come by.
Good luck the rest of the season.
Good talking to Gary.
Alrighty, thanks. Bill. And what I took from this was all we have to do is get rid of the coaches to have more scoring in there. That's what I heard. Did I hear correctly?
Well, this is a philosophy.
Okay.
A philosophy.
Okay.
Yeah, and lay off the goalies. Okay, I got to go.
Okay, Marty. Marty Turco, the Dallas Stars. We're going to step out and take a break. When we come back, Gary Bettman will take more calls and answer your emails, all on the NHL Hour on NHL Home Ice, XM 204, and NHL.com.
This is Phil Esposito from In the Slot. I want to welcome Commissioner Bettman to the NHL Home Ice and the XM family.
Listening to NHL Hour with your commissioner, Gary Bettman, NHL Home Ice, XM 204.
And welcome back, everyone, to NHL Hour. We're live from the NHL store, powered by Reebok, on NHL Home Ice, XM 204, as well as NHL.com. Our call-in number, 877-NHL on XM. That's 877-645-6696. And the email address is nhlhour@nhl.com, and our board is still glowing and flashing. Gary, who's next?
Well, let's take Tim in New Jersey. You've been on hold for 38 minutes, and I apologize, so you're up.
Thank you. How are you guys today?
We're good. Great,
thanks.
Are you? Where are you from in Jersey, North Jersey or South Jersey?
I'm actually right in Central Jersey in Middlesex County.
Ah, Flyers fan or Devils fan?
Actually a Ranger fan.
Ah, okay. Rangers will be happy to hear that. What can we do for you?
I was actually going to ask a question. Obviously, you probably heard about the Washington Redskins defensive back, Sean Taylor, who got murdered in his home. I was wondering if you, like other leagues, have a symposium on player safety, and what do you guys do to focus on that?
That's a great question. We have a series of programs that we do in conjunction with the Players Association every year. The security department from the NHL comes out and talks to the players about situations that they might find themselves in or how to avoid such situations. We have an employee assistance program where we tell players how they and members of their families can get assistance and counseling and whatever help they may need on a variety of issues. But most importantly, we make sure that all resources are available to help our players understand the lives they lead and how to deal with difficult circumstances. The good news from our standpoint is NHL players tend to be exemplary off the ice, and we're very proud of the way they conduct themselves. Next caller, another 30-minute-plus waiter, Greg in upstate New York. What can we do for you?
Hi, Mr. Bettman. It's a pleasure to talk with you, and Mr. Clement, thank you for taking my call. I actually had two questions. The first one for Bill. Bill, is Gary Thorne ever going to come back to do hockey with you?
I think that may have already been addressed. The question is, will hockey come back to Gary Thorne? Because Gary's an ESPN guy, and Commissioner Bettman has already addressed that. So, listen, if Gary stays in one place on a major network long enough, every sport's going to come his way, I guess.
We can agree that Bill and Gary were a great duo covering the game.
Well, I grew up listening to those guys, so that's...
Thanks.
Well, that either means you're young or they're old.
Or a combination of both.
and that's up for debate, right? Well, my question is, I think, if you could pick one thing that's probably going to revolutionize the sport in the future, I would say it's probably high-definition television, just because watching the sport, for years, and even listening to the radio, I think high-definition is really going to bring it to the forefront. But my question is: Is the league experimenting with other types of like camera angles?
Yes, it's a great question. I agree with you. High definition makes the biggest difference for us compared to anything else you can watch on television when you compare to what it looks like in standard television and high-definition television. John Shannon runs our television and broadcasting departments. He is the former longtime executive producer of Hockey Night in Canada, and both at the national level and, as importantly, for local club broadcasts. He's working with the clubs, working with the people who operate the cameras, working with the talent to do the best we can to bring all of our broadcasts up locally or nationally to the highest level. And we're experimenting with everything, camera angles, sound, replays, you name it, because we want to give our fans the best possible experience on television. Next caller, holding for 40 minutes, Jake in Winnipeg. I apologize for the wait, but happy to get to you.
Thank you very much. Good afternoon, Mr. Commissioner and Mr. Clement. Hey, I'd love to see the game played on Olympic ice without the instigator rule I forgot the other point that I had, but my comments, what I'd like to get your thoughts on, Mr. Commissioner, is how is in increasing the value and demand of the tickets and possibly improving performance. And there's two thoughts on that. One is, as a trade-off to increasing the salary cap, that it remain where it is but go to less games in a season, which would eliminate four games in a week scenarios, which would increase demand because there's less tickets to buy. That'd be one. And the second thought is, if NHL teams could play some regular season home games in their AHL-affiliated city and be part of the AHL season ticket package.
Both interesting points. On the first one, fewer games, I've heard some proposals recently that we should actually increase the number of games. We play to 92% of capacity, and based on that following, there doesn't seem to be much need or desire, either by our fans, the clubs, or the players, to play fewer games. Every game matters in the regular season, as I indicated before, in terms of the march to the playoffs. And so I'm not sure I get why we should play fewer games based on the reception that our games are getting. I don't think we ever play four games in a week. If we do, it's an aberration. Sometimes you see three. The schedule is very difficult to make up.
No kidding. Because, wow.
You know, every time you do one thing to change the schedule, it affects 10 others. Steve Hatzepetros does our schedule. It probably goes through somewhere between 85 and 90 drafts until he finally gets it right. There are always building conflicts and other issues. Some teams like certain types of road trips. Very complicated business. But there hasn't been any discussion recently to reduce the number of games. With respect to the playing in the AHL cities, their arenas typically aren't the same size or the same caliber of ours. No knock on them. The AHL is a great league, and we have a great relationship with them. Dave Andrews, their commissioner, does a terrific job, and we spend lots of time together talking about the game. Buffalo, I think, either last year or the year before, played a game in Rochester. And the sense was, both from a competitive standpoint for the team and even the fan experience, the fans in Buffalo didn't want to give up the game. They want to see their Sabres every time they can. And speaking of Buffalo, let's not forget we have a game in Buffalo on January 1st against Pittsburgh outdoors. 73,000 people will be there. Hopefully the elements will cooperate. But the interesting thing, and this goes to ticket demand, we put 43,000 tickets on sale to the public, and they sold out in 18 minutes. So from that standpoint, right now at 82 games seems to be the right place for us.
Just want to make a quick comment on playing on the Olympic-sized rink. The way teams trap, they cut the ice in half. My feeling is that the ice surface could be as wide as the St. Lawrence River, and as long as teams are going to trap and keep a team over on one side of the ice, it doesn't matter how wide the rink is. We have to find ways to continue to figuratively lengthen the ice.
Well, and in addition, they use the wider ice in Europe, and that game gets very heavily criticized for not being physical
sure.
enough and not having offense.
Absolutely.
So the combination of the two. And there's also a logistical issue. People say, well, we'd never make it wider because we would be killing revenues from the front rows of seats, you know, front few rows. The fact of the matter is, all of the sight lines and all of the arenas that have been built in the last 20 years are geared to NHL's regulation ice.
All right, the angles of this slope of the stands, right.
Would completely change the view for everybody, and that's not how the sight lines were designed. Let's take one quick question from Tony in Arizona. 43 minutes on hold. You get the award, and I apologize for keeping you waiting. You're next on the NHL Hour.
Thank you. It's a pleasure to speak with you, Mr. Commissioner. I'm from your neck of the woods. I'm an old New York Ranger fan from back in the Bathgate days, and I just want to two very brief questions, or actually one statement. I'm pleased with the return of the trap somewhat, because I think it's statistically compromising when you get into 3.5, 3.6 goals per game. I like it at around 3, maybe 2.75 to 3 per game, you know, as a traditionalist. The shootout was hard for me to deal with, but I've now become an advocate of the shootout.
We're getting a lot of static from your cell phone. Can you turn your head or something? Well, I think we've been cut off. You know what? The point that was being made is that some people like lower scoring games. I like exciting games, and it doesn't matter how many goals are scored. It's about scoring chances. It's about lead changes, and it's about letting our players skate fast and demonstrate their skill.
That's really what the game is about, isn't it? Skating, passing, shooting, and ultimately the end result, barring fantastic goaltending every night, is some goal scoring mixed in there.
Yeah, goal scoring, nothing ignites a building more than goal scoring, except perhaps a fight. Okay.
Did we say this was going to be the quickest hour in show business?
Well, we'll get back to that.
Yep. Well, I'll tell you what, the hour has slipped by. The NHL Hour, our launch. Want to let everybody know, coming up next, Phil Esposito and Jim Taddy in the slot. We'll be back next Thursday. Not this Thursday, but a week from this Thursday, December the 6th, 4 p.m. Eastern, to answer more of your calls and emails and to talk hockey. And until then, goodbye and have a great day of hockey.